Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. November. We have a second to the last month of the year, and we've got one more in December. And so looking forward to seeing everybody out in December also. So thank you very much for coming, and really, really appreciate it. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us today. But as we do, we always go ahead and we kind of look back at what we talked about last month and kind of point our spirit in that direction. So last month we talked about the value of being faithful. The value of being faithful. I'll tell you one thing. In God, if you cannot be faithful, God cannot use you. And that's faithful not only to God, but to your brothers and sisters. So many Christians are not faithful to their brothers and their sisters. Their words don't mean anything. They just talk, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But when it comes down to actually doing it, they don't do that. So anyway, so let's go ahead and just look at the points from last month, the value of being faithful. The first point we looked at is to be faithful on our part means that we take seriously our need to commune with the Lord, to receive of Him. Let me say that again. To be faithful on our part means that we take seriously our need to commune with the Lord, to receive from Him. If we do not receive from the Lord, well, then I don't know what you're receiving from, because the Lord has all that we need. Amen?
Yeah.
Second point is God cannot bring His preordained purposes and plans to completion unless we commune with Him. Unless we have that relationship with Him, and unless we have that personal relationship with Him, then God cannot bring His preordained purposes and plans and completion, you know, to an end. You know, so many Christians say, oh, wow, you know, God has these wonderful plans and these purposes and all this could be precious promises, you know. But the Christian never spends time with the Lord. He never communes. He never gets His marching orders, you know. And, well, God can't bring His marching orders to an end unless we go ahead and we spend time with Him. Point number three, entering into the kingdom of God is not done by working for God. That's a religious base, or having great things done through us. I'm going to say that again. Entering into the kingdom of God is not done by working for God. So many denominations out there that are work-based, you know, they're all about working. You got to be, you know, you got to be water baptized, and you got to speak in tongues, and you got to fast, and you got to do all of these things. That is all religion. That is all religion. You know, we don't have to do all those things. Now, it's good to speak in tongues, and it's good to fast when the Lord wants you to do that, but that's not a requirement to be saved and to have that personal relationship with the Lord. Point number four, instead of a focus of working and doing, we must become the work of God. Wow. We are the work of God. This home group meeting, a church, or an organization of whatever is not the work of God. We are the work of God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. And we must allow God to work on us through His dealings and His judgments in our life. If not, well then, we'll have nothing to give to the world. Number five, the requirement for entering into the joy of the Lord, which is not a blessing, and the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of heaven. Are you ready for this? There is four things right here that we talked about last month. And that is faithfulness, commitment, dedication, and obedience to God. Those four things are four requirements that we must have in our life, moving in our life, so that we can enter into the joy of the Lord, which is the strength of the Lord, and the kingdom of heaven, which is heaven, and that is faithfulness and commitment and dedication and obedience. Without those four things, well, we're just wasting our time going to church and doing all the churchy things. Point number six, we will never become the overcomer who finds himself seated with the five wise virgins. Remember, we looked at Matthew 25:1 through 12. We looked at the foolish virgins and the five wise virgins, but unless we become, you know, we will never become that overcomer who will find himself seated with the five wise virgins unless we allow God to work his nature and his character into our life. And again, that is through his dealings and judgments in our life. Wow. Hmm. Point number seven. No one can give to another their commitment to spiritual obedience. Wow, let me say that again. No one can give to another their commitment to spiritual obedience. We must spend quality time with the Lord. We must spend quality time with the Lord. There is no substitute for time spent with God. You know, there's an old saying that says, people would rather pray or fast for hours than to be obedient to the Lord. And that is true. Most people in churches that are work-focused, I mean, so many of the Pentecostal denominations are just so work-focused. You've got to fast, you got to do this, and, you know, all of these things, well, you know, those are good to do if the Lord directs you to do those, but they're not requirements to be saved or to go to heaven, amen? And the last point is because in these things, God will speak to us and share his heart. Wow. If we can spend time with him, if we can just allow God to work in our life and through his dealings and his judgments, and we can go into that learning process and find out those ways that God has for us, then in these times, then God will be able to speak to our heart. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go ahead and transition into what the Lord has for us from, you know, this month. And we're looking at the biblical elements for daily living. Now, these are biblical elements. So this is an element. This is one element for our daily living. And so far we've had 10 lessons. And so this is another element. And that element is encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Wow, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Our text tonight will be from 1 Samuel 30 and 6. Amen? So, 1 Samuel 30 and 6 says, and David was greatly distressed for the people spake of stoning him, because the souls of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow, have you ever been there? Well, probably not in the place that David was. But anyways, oftentimes we are in a low place and we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Champion boxers have an expression that goes, you're only as good as your last fight. And this seems to be the case with King David. With all of his past victories, I mean, even when he slew Goliath when he was a child, and he slew the bear and the lion and all of these things, and of course the people knew about all of those. So with all of his past victories that he won and proven that the hand of the Lord was with him, he still faced mutiny among his men. Boy, does that sound familiar. But my friend, no matter what we do or say, there will always be folks, usually our friends, let me say that again, usually our friends who will run us down and speak evil of us. Wow. And that is true. It's usually our friends are the ones that hurt us the most when they turn their backs. There's a statement that says they build a monument to us from the stones that people throw at us. And that is so true in life. And I'm sure David, you know, felt that also. Returning back to their camps, they were surprised to discover that the Amalekites had kidnapped their wives and children. As if it couldn't get any worse, well, the enemy comes in and takes the wives and the children. Now, there is nothing ordinary about this trial, since it strikes hard indeed to that which is closest to our heart. I tell you, that is so true. If you really ever want to get me riled and get me upset, you know, come against my wife, come against my kids, come against my family, and that will get me more angry than anything else. Amen? As a matter of fact, this is such a low point for the people and David alike that they literally wept away their strength until nothing is left. You know, we can get so low in our commitment to God that there seems like no matter what, all will be lost. Wow, have you ever been there? Have you ever reached this place where you have been empty of all hope in self? Wow, I tell you, that is a really bad place to be. There isn't much left, is there? David's distress did not end with the loss of his own family. It's also over the fear of the reprisal of his followers. I tell you, I have been to some places so sad and despondent and lost. You know, I have been there, and I know fear, and I know distress, but more importantly, I know God. Let me say that again. I've been there, and I know fear, and I know distress, and I know loneliness, and I know despair, and all of those things. But more importantly, I know God. But in all of this, he does not give up. David does not give up. He does a remarkable thing. Resisting any tendency of self-pity, oh, I'm going to go ahead and eat worms, and life is so bad, and, you know, when we get upset and we get down, and we, where's God, and all that good stuff, we seem to have a pity party, but, you know, David resisted that tendency to do that. He decided at the end of himself to seek the Lord. Wow. At the end of himself, he decided to seek the Lord. In his despair, in his distress, in his frustration and complexity and all of that, David chose to worship the Lord. A lot of people say, well, where is God? Where is God in these situations when things are going bad and it just doesn't work out? And, oh my God, this is terrible and we're all going to die and stuff. Where is God in all that? Well, God is at the end of yourself. God is already at the end, and he is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to get to the end of ourselves, because that's where he is, and when we get to the end of ourselves, then God can strengthen us. But David, he purposed in his heart to seek the Lord. The Bible tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord, meaning he worshiped the Lord. And he was revived. His strength, became into action. No matter how dark situations and the world gets, God is still looking for dedication and obedience from us. Now, if you didn't come for anything, you don't take any notes or whatever, you need to hear that thought right there. This is a critical thought. No matter how dark situations get, and no matter how dark the world gets, God is still looking for dedication and obedience from us. No matter what happens in the world, and no matter what happens to the government, no matter what happens to finances and stuff, God is still looking for faithfulness and dedication and obedience from us. Now, this is more than human fortitude. It is the pouring out of one's soul before the Lord in acknowledgement that only his enabling power is capable of dealing with something beyond our control. Wow. Something beyond our control. Wow. First, we must be beyond our control. Most people are not beyond their control. Most people live their life in control, but there's times when we get beyond our control. Beyond things that we can handle. And when we get to these places like David, then we must pour out our heart. We must go to the Lord and encourage ourselves in the Lord in our heart. Amen? So we must be beyond our control. Then we pour our heart out into the Lord, telling him he alone has the power to restore our joy. And he alone has the power to restore our confidence. He alone has the power to restore our very life. And that is true. He alone. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get into some deep teaching here. So you need to really open up your spirit and allow the Lord to go ahead, allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead and speak to your heart here. Amen? Yes. There will always be those perplexing situations in our life. Always. Job 5:7 says, although afflictions cometh not from the dust, neither the troubles spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble. Let me say that again. Man is born unto trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Wow. Job 5:7. It is not by accident that we have afflictions and troubles. So let me say that again. It is not by accident that in this world that we have afflictions and troubles. God himself has purposed them in our life. Yes, let me say that again. God himself has purposed these afflictions and troubles into our life. John 15:33 is a tremendous verse in the Bible that most Christians, they wish that wasn't in the Bible. But John here, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Now that's a promise from God. God is telling us that it's a promise that we're going to have tribulations. But what a promise from God. But that verse doesn't end. It ends this way. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Yes, in this world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. And if we go ahead and we push into Jesus, if we go ahead and we push into Him, then He'll be able to strengthen us with might in the inward man, and we'll be able to overcome those situations. But now, as I said, those afflictions and troubles often are brought to us by the Lord. And those afflictions and the troubles are for our learning, and therefore our teaching, and therefore our spiritual growth and maturity also. Amen?
Amen.
Just as the blade of an axe is applied to the grinding stone to be sharpened, so will the life of man experience adversity in refining him. In the process, it may kick up all kinds of debris, yet out of such chaos will come God's arrangements and order for our life. Jesus overcame the world by spending time with His Father. Let me say that again. Jesus spent time with His Father so He can overcome the world. And during that time, He learned obedience. Sweetheart, can you go ahead and read Hebrews 5 and 8, please?
Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered.
Wow. Amen. Thank you very much, sweetheart. Wow. Jesus, though He was God-man on earth, Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. Wow. That's another one of those verses that most Christians don't want to find in their Bible, but that is true. That Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered, through God's dealing and judgments in His life. So too in our lives, we learn obedience, and we must endure God's refining. Let me say that again. So too in our life, we must learn obedience. Obedience is something that is not in us. Disobedience in our way, we're all as sheep and we want to go our way. All of that is in us. But we have to learn obedience. God has to teach us. We learn obedience from our parents, and then spiritually God will begin to teach us obedience, and it's a very long process. But we must learn obedience, and we must endure God's refining process of His dealings and His judgments. Like David, we need to learn how to roll the heaviness of heart over to the Lord in times of tribulation. Things, life, or burdens have a way of becoming heavy. But as the hymn goes, we often carry burdens too heavy because we have not taken them to the Lord in prayer. Now, we need to be careful here, okay? This is a wonderful song, and, you know, we go ahead and, okay, Lord, I can't handle this anymore. I'm going to give this burden to You. Well, no, that's not kind of the way that goes. You know, we cannot drop our burdens off with the Lord. Let me say that again. We cannot just drop our burdens off with the Lord. They are our burdens. He had His burdens. They are our burdens. He often gives those burdens to us. But we can tap into His strength to endure this learning process. So these burdens are for us, for our benefit, to enable us, to strengthen us, to teach us. And so we just don't go, okay, Lord, here's my burden. I want You to take my burden. That's not the way that works. We go, Lord, You gave me that burden, but I need Your strength. I need Your ability. I need to tap into You so that I can endure this learning process that You have for my life. So when they play that song, don't be misled, because you can't do that. You cannot give your burden to the Lord. You know, leave it at the altar, brother. Well, you can't leave it at the altar if God has not been dealing in your life. Some of these churches have so many silly gimmicks where they take, write your sins down and we're going to burn them, or write your sins down on this piece of paper and we're going to bury it at the foot of the cross. Well, unless God has been dealing in your heart and dealing in your life about that sin in your life, you will carry that sin in your heart with you when you came into the church and when you leave that church.
Right.
But if you could push into the Lord, if you can allow the strength of the Lord to strengthen you with might as you endure that burning process, then you can leave those burdens there. All other strengths not of God will fail us. Let me say this again. Now, here's where I want you to really open up your spirit. All other strength not of God will fail us when the wind of life blows, when we are shaken by situations and circumstances. I'm going to say that again. All other strength not of God, all other strength of ourselves, of the world, of our friends, whatever, will fail us when the winds of life will blow, and when we are shaken by situations and circumstances. Psalms 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings is thou ordained strength, because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of the mouth of the most vulnerable human beings, which are babies, in terms of having no ability to defend themselves, God has ordained that they would have strength. Wow, they would have strength. The enemy in our heart, the enemy in our heart that would doubt God's strength. So the enemy there is not Satan or whatever, but the enemy in our heart is that doubt in our heart that would say, God can't handle that situation. If I tap into God, that's not going to give me the strength and the ability to overcome in these situations. That is the enemy that I'm talking about here. And, you know, as it talks about, you know, babes and sucklings, you know, they are weak. They are vulnerable, you know. And that is the place that we have to come when we come before the Lord and, you know, we're tapping into His strength. We have to be weak and we have to be vulnerable. Something we do not like to do because we're always told to be strong and be in charge and make something of yourself and do all those things. Well, that's not the way it works in God. The weaker that we can become, the stronger God can become through us. So the weaker in ourselves that we become, the stronger God will be able to become in our life. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
He gives us His strength not to rescue us, oh no, but He gives us our, He gives us His strength to be, so that if our meaningful relationship, to make it a meaningful time of training, as we go through many difficulties in our life. Let me say that again. He gives us not His strength to rescue us, oh no. He wants our situation, the troubles and stuff that we face in our life, to be meaningful. We are rescued so that we can come to know God and know of His provision for our life. Approached how? With a humble heart as a child. Thus, it is our advantage when we find ourselves in the moments of weakness that we will respond by encouraging ourselves in the Lord, strengthening our hearts through praise. Now, praise all throughout the Bible is not singing. Let me say that again. Praise all throughout the Bible is not singing. Praise is speaking of God's goodness. It's speaking. It's speaking. It's words. It's not singing. And that's not worship, because the word worship all throughout the Bible is to bow our head to the ground. So praise and worship, well, I don't know what most churches do in praise and worship, but in the Bible, praise is talking about the wonders of God, and worship is bowing our head to the ground. Wow. Oh, to be a child again. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, we can be a child again. We can be a child in God, and we can't go back and be little again and grow through, puberty, but we can be a child again in God. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was making this point to the Pharisees, and Matthew, in Matthew 21, 14 and 15, he said, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were sore displeased." Jesus turned to them and said almost the same words from Matthew 8 and 2, and said unto them, "Hear thus how they say." And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise'?" Matthew 21:16. "The blind and the lame have no strength. Like little children they come to receive healing and strength from the one who holds all strength." You know, we think of at the end of the day, especially as we lay on our deathbed, that we have no real strength that can make an eternal difference in our lives, or even in our spouse or our friends. And that is true unless we have learned that secret of tapping in to the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Some parting thoughts. Clearly, when one is weak, and that at the within, this is the time when either our faith will move the mountain, or the mountain will remove our faith. Wow, let me say that again. Clearly, when we are weak, and at wit's end, this is the time when either our faith will move the mountain, or the mountain will remove our faith. In any event, we must turn to God to encourage ourselves. This is the place God desires to take us all to, a place where we, like the three Hebrew children in Daniel 3:18, but if not, "Be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy God." Wow. Tremendous. Steve Spirit, he would say something like this: Fisher cut bait. Wow. It is then we come and we stand in his presence, worshiping him with his attitude that says, "Lord, regardless of the circumstance and the situation, my eyes are on thee for the strength and the know-how." Wow. No matter the situation or the circumstance, we come before the Lord and we say, "Our eyes are upon thee for your strength and for your know-how." Notice, not to remove the situation. God does not want to remove all these burdens and all these situations that we want them to remove. I mean, anytime we have a problem in life, we're like, "Oh God, come and take this away." Well, God doesn't want to take those away. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want to remove all these situations so that we can feel better. God is not really concerned about us feeling better. God is more concerned about teaching us obedience and learning and growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He's really not that concerned about feeling, but our hope is in you, O Lord, as the only one who can save us from this situation that would take more than our life. Now notice, more than our life, but it would take our faith in you. Karen made a really interesting statement one day. We were talking, and before she had hip surgery, she was in a lot of pain and stuff like that. And her concern was not so much about the pain that she was in, because she was in a lot of pain, but her concern was she did not want her pain to come in between her and her relationship with the Lord. Wow, that is a tremendous statement. So she was willing to endure the pain because she was more concerned about her relationship with the Lord than her comfort and not being in pain. And the Lord just moved miraculously on her part, and she had both of her hips replaced. Amen? If God has to intervene and take these problems away, and then he knows that the plan and the purpose he has for your life is in jeopardy of being lost. Let me say that again. If God has to intervene in any other way other than us coming to him and him strengthening us with might in the inward man, then he knows that the plan and the purpose that he has for our life, your life, is in jeopardy of being lost. And so that he will go ahead and he might take some of that situations away. And, you know, it's like blessings. You know, it's interesting that everybody always wants to be blessed, blessed, blessed. And bless me, bless me. Well, you know, oftentimes God will give us a blessing because he knows if we do not receive a blessing, if we do not receive a blessing, then we won't continue with our walk with him. So often God will give us a blessing to kind of string us along in him. Amen?
Amen.
So Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word, Father, Lord. Thank you, Father, Lord. Bless everyone that came out tonight, Father, Lord God. Just be with us, Father, Lord. Take this word, Father, and Lord, just melt into our heart, Father, Lord God. Lord, as the sparks fly upward, Father, Lord God, we will have tribulation, Father, Lord. But let us know. Let us learn, Father, Lord. Let us learn obedience and faithfulness and commitment and dedication. That when in these times, Father, Lord God, we go to you, Father, Lord, and we encourage ourselves in you. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.